If you are wanting to follow along in the Pew Bible this morning, we're eventually going to get to page 961. If you follow the church on Facebook, you may have already seen the video that I posted on Friday. I know many of you don't do Facebook, and that's fine. I'll tell the story here a little bit. But it's a story of a 10-year-old boy who walks out in front of this huge auditorium full of people. And he's about ready to sing. Not only is he 10 years old, he's blind and he's autistic. And in front of this huge crowd full of people, he begins to sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." And of course, he sang it much better than I do. And the whole crowd is amazed, humbled, worshiping with this young boy who has discovered the way that leads to life. We need to be reminded today, in this day and age, that God is still changing lives. We sometimes accept that it happened long ago in the Bible. Sometimes we forget that it's happening today. This young boy, his mother was a drug addict. He was born in the worst situations, but he was adopted by a family. He found the way. He found the way. Which brings us to our scripture. Matthew 7:14, which says, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, when I read this verse, there's two challenging things that I notice right off the bat. One is, the road is narrow. See, the road that leads to life is a challenging road. It's hard to stay on. It curves, it winds, it's narrow. You fall off pretty easily. It's full of challenges. It's full of hardships. You can be tempted to quit. After all, there's probably a road that's easier, simpler than this winding, narrow road. The second thing I notice about the scriptures, it says the gate is small and only a few find it. See, people travel on all different types of roads. They hope that the next road in life they choose is going to be the one that fulfills them, that gives them life. Now, I hate being lost, literally. I hate being late. I hate wasting time. I hate wasting time being lost. I hate missing a turn on the interstate and having to travel 10 miles down the road just to get the exit so I can travel 10 miles back to where I should have been. Can I get an amen? Amen. But here's the thing. I get lost pretty easy. I get lost quite often. Fortunately, my wife is really good at being a navigator. But I get lost all the time. Sometimes I'm just in a hurry and I think I'm getting anxious, so I turn too soon. Sometimes I'm not paying attention or I forget what exit I was supposed to get off of, but I get lost. Of course, that happens to us spiritually too. And when we get lost, we have to figure out our way back. Sometimes it's a long journey to get back to where we should be. But the good news is here for us is that we at least know the gate, the small gate that the scripture talks about. A lot of people in the world have to wander around trying to figure out where that gate is. How is it marked? How are we going to recognize it? We know the gate. The gate is Jesus. Plain and simple. If you are born again, if you have discovered a relationship with Christ, if you believe in the Word of God, you know, you've discovered the gate. Could we just pause for a moment and say how blessed we are? And just, so many people don't know. But we know the gate. Our only challenge then is to stay on the road. But sometimes we have to be reminded. We have to be encouraged. We have to be held accountable. Whatever it takes to stay on the right road. Like this blind, autistic, I mean, if I was in his situation, I don't know how I would do it. But maybe it's because of his situation that he stays on the right road. But God is still at work. He's still in the business of changing lives. Now, I grew up on a farm. I was the youngest of four boys. Now, I was not a real confident child. I lacked confidence. I lacked direction. I lacked motivation. People would say that describes most of the teenagers in this world today. But it certainly applied to me. Maybe I tried going down a few roads. I mean, you try music and you try sports and you try the things that you can maybe excel at. I couldn't find the right road. Some roads were just not for me. Some roads I just were too risky to go down. Too meaningless, maybe. It wasn't until I was 19 years old that I went to a church camp as a counselor, actually, that God's grace poured over me. Just literally, I mean, I know everybody doesn't have the mountaintop experience when they come to Christ. I did. And it was emotional and it was life-changing. At that point, I knew the gate. God had revealed to me the gate of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Now, I still had to make a decision whether I was going to travel down this road. And that's important too. But as you journey down the road and you make mistakes, God is always faithful. Now, over my life, I have found out that following God on the right road often means literally getting on new roads. Literally. When I decided to go to seminary, I really struggled with whether I should go or not, but it took the leap of faith and went to seminary in Asbury, Kentucky, which is in Wilmore, Kentucky. And we had to travel down these winding roads to get there. Now, I'd gone down there once before, and I'd made it okay. So I was a little bit more confident the second time, and we had the U-Haul. My brother and sister-in-law came with me, but I missed a turn. I got lost. Surprise, surprise. And as we got down the road, I finally had to ask somebody, how do you get to Wilmore? How do you get to Asbury Seminary? And the guy literally said to me, you can't get there from here. You can't get... Okay, I look at the guy and I'm like, you can get there from here. It just may take me a while. So he gave me directions and we found our way back. It's that way in life. Fall off track, you get back. The great poets of the 1960s put it best when they sang, oh, the long and winding road that leads to your door. Oh, it will never disappear because I've seen that road before. You're a Christian. You've seen the road. You know what you're supposed to get on. Just stay on it. Get back on it. You know, if you'd have told me a few years ago that you're going to be a lead pastor in a church in Western New York, I'd have said, no, that's not going to happen. But God led us down this road. That's where he's taken us. You know, the history of Christianity is full of those narrow roads and people, God using people to to make a difference in this world. At one point in history, children were left to die. Infants left to die of exposure, especially if they were female. The teachings of Jesus helped do away with that cruelty in life. Once upon a time, education was only for those elite people. The teachings of Jesus helped people to understand that education was for everyone. Compassion and health care were once limited. The teachings of Jesus helped take people to make changes so that now, even today, we have hospitals named like Good Samaritan. We may have once valued to some degree wisdom and courage, but we had a really hard time valuing humility. I'm not sure humankind would ever valued humility if it wasn't for Jesus. And of course, forgiving and loving your enemies were foreign concepts at one time. And it was rightfully credited to Jesus for introducing those things to our world. Jesus and his followers have been and always will be the light of the world. We have the right path. We stay on it. You know, I've been reading a little bit about the history of this church. I've read about the changes over this century, from buildings to pastors to programs. I've read about how you've had a pastor who was a real fire and brimstone pastor in this church. I've read about a pastor who actually had to leave under allegations of impropriety. You've seen it all. But the church has survived. And at times, even thrived. I'd like to share some of the ways that I see Hillside thriving. What really attracted me to your church. Number one, this church has done a great job of providing a way to life through programs, fellowship, discipleship, worship, missions, prayer. You understand that all those things are important, and you try to balance those things. Number two, Hillside has made a commitment to getting beyond the church walls with the love of Jesus. You've focused that even more so recently. Understand that your faith is not it's a private thing, but it can't just be a private thing. Number three, the church invites people into community, into a body, and it provides a discipleship path for them to grow. And you have programs and you have ministries that help people do that. Hillside has wonderful volunteers and leaders directing important areas of ministry. Thank you for what you are doing in this church to make a difference, to understand all the hours you put in are helping people stay on the right road or get on the right road. You understand that God works through our brokenness to change lives. We don't serve as perfect creatures. We have all types of idiosyncrasies, all types of areas of sinfulness or weakness. But we serve a perfect God. And he makes good stuff out of even all our weakness and attempts to serve him. You encourage one another to be in the Word, to pray, and to have spiritual conversations. You see that in that bulletin every week. Have you done this? Are you doing this? Oh, what a wonderful challenge. You make our children and youth a priority in our church, understanding that they are in many ways the great harvest. I want to thank Pastor Rick and the staff and your leaders in this church for all you've done. Speaking of Pastor Rick, I agree with what the district superintendent, Joey Jennings, said last week. He's still a part of our church. He's still part of our congregation. Please don't stop reaching out to him, loving him, praying for him during this time. You know, it just so happens the last time I started a new position in the church was 8 years ago. And I replaced a guy who had been there in the church as a non-pastor. He was just part of the church for many years. He was employed elsewhere. And then while he was at the church, he became a pastor, and then he was employed at the church many years after that. Been down a little bit of this road before. Anyways, God has used this church to change lives. I have no doubt that's going to continue. Let us not doubt his power, his grace. We dare not get distracted. We dare not get off the narrow road, because the world is going to try to pull you off. Over vacation, we went to see this musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Has anybody seen that musical in any form at all? A few of you. Yeah, a number of you. It's a good musical. I was excited to see it. I'd never seen it before. And they told the story of Joseph from the Bible, and it was in some ways much accurate. And so I think it had value, and I think it was entertaining. But one thing I didn't realize until I went was they pretty much took God out of the whole story. And again, I'm not putting down the musical or going to it. That's not my point. I enjoyed it. The point is, his faith was the story. It was Joseph's faith that helped him overcome all those hardships. When he was reunited with his brothers after being in slavery, after they sold him into slavery, it was his faith that helped him forgive his brothers, that gave him the wisdom to say, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. It could have been a gate. It could have been a much greater gate to Jesus. It was right there in front of him. And that's the way it can be in our lives too, and in people's lives that you know. The gate can be right there. We can go to church all our lives, or we can be surrounded by good Christian friends or whatever, and we can be right next to the gate and not see it. At this point, I want to focus it on three words that will empower my ministry, that I believe I'll be preaching with these three things in mind. I believe these things are important to helping people find the gate and stay on the narrow road. The first letter from each of these words just so happened to be A, B, and C. These are words that Dr. Joseph Jennings told me when he brought me here. And when he used these words, I just lit up. Because these were words that just resonate with me. They excite me. They motivate me. So I'm going to take these letters one at a time. I'll start with the letter B. And letter B stands for biblical. Everything we do will be based around God's word. I will try to preach everything. I will try to stay true in whatever I preach according to God's word. 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, connecting, and training in righteousness. It is the foundation to who we are. It keeps us on the narrow road. If there's anything you can do in your life that will help you stay on the path, is to stay in the Word. I'm planning on a sermon series after Labor Day about the great broad story of God in the Bible. I'm going to preach the whole Bible in 6 weeks. Good luck, right? But we're going to be challenging people to be in the Word on a regular daily basis. You know, whether I preach an entire sermon on one verse like I'm doing today, or whether I preach and cover a whole book or the Bible in 6 weeks, the Bible will be our foundation. The core of the gospel, of course, is this: love God, love people, and make disciples. We can agree on this. If we agree that those things are the foundation of who we are, then that will keep us unified. Methods may change, ministries may change, we can even disagree to a degree on how we'll go about doing those things, but we can still be unified because we're trying to love God, love people, and make disciples. That will keep us together. The second letter, and go back to the letter A, is authentic. This is the word that LBA used to describe their church. It's when I first came across, when I read about your church, this is what the church had decided would best describe themselves: authentic. I was attracted to a church that wanted to be authentic, or was authentic. Our preaching, our worship time, we'll try to give excellence, we'll try to do things the right way, but it will not be about perfection. It will be about authenticity. We are broken creatures, being honest and real. I will regularly share some of the struggles in my life, and I won't do that so that the sermon will be about me. I do that because I find that people appreciate when you preach as a real person. In fact, Tom Rainer, in his book on evangelism, says unchurched people have at least a couple perceptions of Christians. They either don't see that Christians are any different in the way they live or act, or they act like they have no problems at all and come off fake. We are called to be holy. We are called to stay on the journey with Christ and stay on the right road, and that our lives need to bear fruit, but not at the expense of saying we are broken creatures who fall short. But we press on toward the goal. The last letter is C. The letter stands for creative. Creative. Now, this is probably the least important, maybe, but it's still important. It will be the one that raises the most debate if it's not handled correctly. So why is being creative important? Well, first of all, I believe Jesus was a creative person. Using object lessons, sharing stories, miracles. And he would do these things to get people interested. He created a common ground. He would do things that were mutual. Okay, we all experience this in life. It paved the way to penetrate more deeply. They could understand at a deeper level. If I attempt to be creative, it is only so it opens doors for Christ. Never for entertainment value only. So I got a creative idea this week at camp. So you're gonna do it with me right now, right? Okay. So how many of you have a phone that has a camera on it with you right now and here and now? All right. I realize that everybody does. If you have a phone right now, I'd like you to get that out, and I'd like you to put on the camera. Okay, go ahead and do it. I'm giving you permission. Okay, then I'm going to ask you to take a selfie of yourself in church. Okay, you ready? So you're going to do this too, right? Take a selfie of yourself in church. Yay. You look for this on the Hillside website or the Facebook here. And then what I want you to do this afternoon, I want you to post this on your Facebook if you do Facebook. If not, you can figure out some creative way to send this to your family, your friends, or whatever. And I want you to just say, look what the pastor made me do. or enjoying church today? Wow. Enjoying church. Imagine if that could open a door to a conversation. This is what I do on Sunday mornings. And here, and I want you to know it, and this means something to me. You can take a tongue-in-cheek approach, or you can be dead serious. Now, of course, I don't recommend Facebook for a long theological conversation. I recommend it just to open a door and then have a real conversation. See, my two main goals right now as I begin my ministry and my wife and my family begin our ministry, not to just change for change's sake. We will make changes. Of course we will. But my main two goals right now is just to build relationships and to learn about who you are and what you do. I realize there's already been enough change just by being a new pastor, just because I'll be different than Rick. I understand it will seem different even though we don't try. We're going to make some changes on the bulletin. We're going to do some little things, little small things, but only things that we hope will enhance what you are already doing. The road is narrow, my friends. Let us continue to be faithful. If we stay on the right road, it will bring us life.